listen to him. Not to be overly simple about it, but let me break it down for you. There's a verb. The verb is listen. And there's an object. And the object is him. So we'll take each part, right? We'll take the listening part, and then we'll take the to him part. The verb is listen. And I love the way the story is told, and I don't know that I've noticed this before. It's one of the reasons I love Bible study is because you always see something different. But there's a line in here that says, while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Do you know who that's referring to? Who was talking at the time when the cloud overshadows him? Remember? Peter. Yeah. While he was still speaking. So he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. It's really quite an impressive story. I hate to reduce it to such simple things as listen, a verb, and an object, because there's so much more in the story, right? But I think that we're focusing in on what counts. But as we get up to that, suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Peter, the eager beaver, who wants to build something and do something, and let's get started on something, this is good. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, as if to say, Peter, stop talking. That's putting it mildly and nicely. Peter, shut it. Appreciate the effort. Appreciate your enthusiasm. But while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. If you stopped right there, that would be an exact quote from Luke 4, where Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. And at that same scene in the River Jordan, there's a cloud and there's a voice, and the voice says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. But here, 12 chapters later, there's another line. He's my son, he's beloved, I'm well pleased with him, and listen to him. So that's the verb. And the verb to listen requires the cessation of the verb to speak. So that's the first thing. Speak less. Stop talking. One mouth, two ears. Take a hint. Listen more than you speak. Beginning with none other than Peter, the rock, the one with the keys to the kingdom. That was the story right before this. You know, Peter confessed who Jesus was, and Jesus makes him the rock upon which he'll build a church. That Jesus, that Peter, that leader, that disciple is to talk less and listen more. The other interesting dynamic in this story is how it ends. Wasn't that interesting? As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about the vision. Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. That's an anti-evangelical message. Do not share the good news. Do not tell the story. I don't care how much you love to tell the story, the old story. I don't care if it'll be your theme in glory. Don't tell this story yet. Listen, don't tell. Kind of an interesting recipe right there. your kids came home from school and said, I was told to listen and not tell, it might raise a red flag for you, right? Especially in this day and age. But for the disciples, this was imperative. Don't talk. Listen. And just as an interesting note, to me it's interesting that the verb, the most important verb central to the story about Jesus is for us to listen to Jesus. There are a lot of other verbs that we could, and the church over the centuries, I think, has been much more active in other areas rather than listening. And just one example I'll give that I struggle with a lot, and that is worshiping. I don't think Jesus ever invited worship of himself. You can test me on that and get back to me. Do some research. I think the worship of Jesus starts to happen later in the New Testament in the writings of Paul and some of the other epistles. But I don't think Jesus ever said, worship me. And somehow the church shifted its focus from listening to Jesus to worshiping Jesus. There are even some other verbs that are really good, I think, like following Jesus. And even that, we might say, we gave up following Jesus a long time ago because we're too busy worshiping Jesus. And I think that's a problem. I think it's an issue. So the verb is to listen. And maybe listening involves following. And maybe following involves going and doing likewise. And maybe listening involves responding to that invitation to come follow me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Study. Maybe listening involves all these other verbs, but I don't think it was ever intended to be about worshiping Jesus. Do you think I'm wrong about that? I'm curious. I mean, really. You know, there are churches, you know, I think Lynn and I have had this conversation a lot, that people ask us, well, why don't you guys talk about Jesus more? Why aren't you singing songs about Jesus? Why aren't you worshiping Jesus? There are churches that really do worship Jesus more. And I wonder where do you think this church falls on that? Yeah. Okay. You are more comfortable with following.
If you're going to accept other faith traditions, if they have the right.
Right. So the invitation to follow Jesus probably involves worship, but we worship what Jesus worshiped, which is God. Worship is meant to deepen our relationship to what Jesus knew as Father, as Abba, as God. And so by following him, by listening to him, by going and doing likewise, we're moving in that direction. So that was kind of an aside, but it was actually an important insight. For me, it's an important aside that the verb is listen, not worship. And it's interesting that the first thing that happened, what's the first thing that happened after this voice? They fell on their knees. It doesn't say they worshiped. And actually, I think it's the opposite of worship. It was fear. and again, the church has dealt a lot of fear over the years, and they felt that was worship. Getting people to put in the fear of God in people was good worship. No. Fear is depending on where it comes in the Bible, I think this fear is really unhealthy, unproductive fear. It's not the kind of awe and reverence that's spoken of in the Psalms a lot, that you shall fear the Lord, but because that's about respect and just being awestruck in God's presence. That's not really where we're at. So what does it look like to listen to Jesus? I just did a quick went back through Matthew's gospel, since the story's in Matthew's gospel. I didn't want to go dipping elsewhere. I just thought I'd briefly skim through Matthew's gospel and listen to Jesus a little bit. So here's us listening to Jesus. These are kind of the, we'll call them the greatest hits. I just pulled little snippets out. He doesn't speak until at the end of chapter 3, where he's baptized, Jesus says, "Let it be so now." You know, John doesn't want to baptize him. John says, "You should baptize me." And Jesus submits to the baptism of John. He says, "Nope, let it be now." And then in chapter 4, he has some dialogue with the devil. And then his first public declaration was in the synagogue. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." You might recognize that call to discipleship. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, for 3 chapters, it's just rich and rich of so many things. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid." Listen to that. "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Listen to that. "I have come not to abolish but to fulfill the law." Listen to that. "Let your word be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." Listen to that. "If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn also the other. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Listen to that. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Listen to that. It's hard to listen to Jesus, isn't it? It's getting harder and harder. "When you pray, go into your inner room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Listen. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Listen to that. "No one can serve 2 masters. You cannot serve God and wealth." Listen to that. "But first strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Listen to that. "Do not judge so that you may not be judged." Listen to that. "Ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. And everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." Listen to that. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock." Listen to that. "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Ouch. Listen to that. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous but sinners." And then we've moved out of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus does a lot of talking. And I noticed as I was skimming through here, there's a lot of action here and not as much talking. But notice how the effect of that really changes. For instance, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." "According to your faith, let it be done to you." "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." "Go. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as you so proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'd listen to that. So that's just a smattering of what it's like to listen to Jesus. Challenging. Yeah, and that's just the listening part. It's the go and do likewise that's even more challenging. But that's what we're invited to today, to listen to Jesus. And the other really important point here is when we get to the object of Jesus and what it means to listen to Jesus, and there's a couple of ways to think about that. One is to listen to Jesus over and against other voices. And through that just brief review of the greatest hits, there are other voices out there, and Jesus offers this as an alternative. There's the voice of the culture, store up for yourselves treasures, you know, you got to watch out, plan for tomorrow, worry about tomorrow, the other, you know, piece of that Sermon on the Mount. What am I going to wear tomorrow? Why don't you know, worry, worry, worry. And to the voice of the culture, Jesus says, don't do that, do this. And there's the law and the prophets. And the law says, you know, you've heard it say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, love your enemy. Forgive. I desire mercy rather than sacrifice. So even sometimes to the very laws of his own faith tradition, Jesus says something a little different, which is why I think it's interesting in the story of the Transfiguration, there are two people that appear in the vision, Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. So if you ever have a situation where you find Jesus and the law and the prophets, and they're having a conversation, and they're talking about what the church ought to do about fill in the blank. And the law says one thing, Moses says one thing, and Jesus says another thing. Who are you going to listen to? It is that simple, actually. And we can still read the law, we can still read the prophets, but we tend to read them through the eyes of Jesus. So what they say really matters to us as it is filtered through the lens of Jesus, who was not about making the world smaller and drawing boundaries so that only the saved can be in this little circle and only the righteous can be here. But what did he say there? Go to the lost. I'm not here for the righteous, I'm here for the sinners. He's opening it, he's making it wider, he's making it bigger, he's drawing the circle as wide as his arms can go. So when we as a church need to know how to act and what to do and who to be, we can take a lot of these voices into consideration, but ultimately we have to listen to Jesus. It was very popular, and probably still is, the WWJD, right? And to ask, well, what would Jesus do? And that's a great thing, but it's missing a piece, and it has to do with the listening. Because it assumes that we know what Jesus would do because we've listened to Jesus. But a lot of times we might skip the listening part and just jump to, well, what would Jesus do? And more than likely, we justify our actions and say, well, I think he would have done this. Surely he would have invaded Iraq. You know, you read the things, he was against evil, he would have confronted evil people, he would have, you know, he would have been there and he would have. But if we listen to Jesus, it's really hard to justify the action. So it's not WWJD, but it's, if I can get this, what did Jesus say? How does that play out on a bracelet? WDJS. What did Jesus say? WJDS, it is, yeah, right. Yeah. I invite you to think about that. Because it's a great, you know, when you're watching that news story, and there were so many, you know, this week the thing in Arizona, the law that the governor vetoed that was supposedly about Christian or religious freedom, but was really about bigotry and unwelcoming, you know, well, what did Jesus say about that? I guess I'm going to listen to Jesus. And then I'll have a better idea of WWJD. listen to Jesus. So we're moving in. You know, Wednesday begins Lent, and I just want to invite you into a journey in a number of ways to think about how to listen. And one of them is very simple. They're both sort of challenges, I think, for all of us. But one of them, you know, we're going to be studying the Gospel of Matthew in Bible study on Thursday. I'll probably be preaching on it, too, throughout the Sundays in Lent. But I invite you to read the Gospel of Matthew. And sometime, it might take a couple hours, but try to sit down in one sitting and just read it. And I'm going to invite the people in Bible study, so I extend it to all of you, to read it every week. I'm going to read, it's 28 chapters long, it's not that long. A lot of you read a lot more than that in a given week. But what if you took 2 hours and just read 28 chapters of Matthew's Gospel, and just see what you notice? Listen. Okay? So that's one way to listen. There are a lot of other things you can read, and I would certainly encourage that. There's lots of great spiritual and inspiring reading that helps us listen. But I think, why not listen to the gospel and see? Because we assume we know it, but we probably don't as well as we could or should. So listen. And then the other invitation is to not talk so much. I'm not calling you to a vow of silence for the next 40 days, although that might be interesting. But maybe enjoy some silence more than you do. If your immediate response when you get in the car or when you get at home is to turn on the TV or the radio, maybe don't do that. Maybe have a moment to listen to the world and not the noise. And maybe if your natural way to pray is to mostly fill your space with words, so maybe not do that once as you pray. Just sit in the silence and listen and see what words or images come to you when you're not doing the talking. So those are just a couple of ways that I would offer to respond to that invitation. It's really more of a command, right, in this story. This is my son, listen to me.